So this new sermon series, and the title of this sermon today is Embracing Our Own Resurrection. Embracing Our Own Resurrection. So please pray with me. God of wisdom, may my words be faithful to the written word, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring us all closer to the living word. That's the risen Christ. In his name, amen. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Well, our text today helps us understand what the resurrection means for us. The resurrection of Christ helps us to understand how we must embrace our own resurrection from the old self to the new self. So what was going on in this text? Well, the day started off well enough. In the preceding verses there in that particular chapter, Peter and John, at Mary Magdalene's desperate prompting, run to find Jesus' tomb empty. There's no body on that first Easter morning. We read how John saw and believed. Mary Magdalene lingers outside the empty tomb as the two male disciples go back to where they were staying. As she is weeping, she has an encounter with the resurrected Jesus, who gives her a message to deliver to his disciples. Mary delivers this message to them. I have seen the Lord. Is this the moment when they all realize that Christ is resurrected, that Christ is risen, that he had actually done what he said he would do? Well, no. No, they don't even bother to go and look for him. They don't even bother to go looking for him. A few hours later, we find the disciples all huddled together behind locked doors in fear of the Jewish leaders. When John refers to the Jews, he means the Jewish leaders. They're of course confused over the reports of the empty tomb, the trauma of the crucifixion of their teacher still fresh in their minds. Remember, these are Galileans from a rural province. Here they are, strangers in a big city. The whole city was trying to kill Jesus' disciples. Fear, confusion, trauma. Even when Jesus appeared among them, showing his wounds, Thomas, who was not there on that occasion, remained skeptical. He demanded tangible proof of Christ's resurrection. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Well, this text reveals the confusion and the doubt of the disciples as they struggle to comprehend and believe in the resurrection, and also the fear that they had. Well, if he were to fast forward through to today, how many people still struggle with doubts about faith, wrestle with skepticism over spiritual truths? I know a materialist who really wants to believe in something beyond the material world. This is the philosopher. He acknowledges the misery and what has happened to our society as secularism has continued to dominate. I mean, he really wants to believe, but he can't. Like Thomas, he demands uncontroversial proof before he can even begin to believe. How many people struggle with faith when confronted with the realities of the world? How can I believe in God when the world is full of suffering? How can I trust in the resurrection when I've not even seen a small miracle? Or what of the person who wrestles with belief in God because their prayers for their loved one's healing went unanswered? How many people are willing to believe a little but hold themselves back, perhaps sitting on the fence, waiting for some sign or piece of evidence that will likely never materialize? Like the disciples in the text gathered behind locked doors out of fear, how many believers today live in fear of being ridiculed, fear of being ostracized? Being cancelled is a very real risk in our culture. How many believers are thus still hiding behind locked doors? Not made of wood, of course, but locked doors nonetheless. locked hearts that guard against pain, locked minds that need proof, locked lives too scared to change, too proud to accept their assumptions and beliefs may be wrong. Remember Ashton's demonstration here a few years ago, sitting in that ultralight camping chair. It's one thing to know about these chairs, it's one thing to know the benefits, to know the technical specifications, but it's another thing entirely to accept that the benefits are actually true. But even then, what if your doubts, your fears hold you back from ever sitting in that chair? You have all the knowledge and the benefits. You might even carry one of those chairs around with you. But until you're actually sitting in that chair yourself, you wouldn't experience what that chair can do for you. So it is with the resurrection. Knowing is not enough. Believing it to be true is not enough. You must trust in the resurrection and live accordingly. What the disciples experienced in the text underscores a common experience with disciples of every time and place. The challenge of believing what we cannot see, especially among adversity and a fear of how the world will treat us. But what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do in this situation? Well, Jesus came to his disciples in their fear and in their doubt. He came into the locked room. He entered their midst offering peace. He invited Thomas to touch his wounds. Jesus did not say, "Well, thanks, guys. Where the heck were you when I needed you?" Jesus did not say, I told you. How many times did I tell you? Not once, not twice, three times I told you what was going to happen. Speaking of three times, where is that Peter? Now, he didn't do that. Jesus did not rebuke. He met them where they were. Remember the ad that ran during the Super Bowl? This last one or the one before? He gets us. He gets us. Jesus gets us. Jesus understands our struggles. He meets our unbelief with love and patience. He guides us to belief. Now, I could stop there, but there's something very significant that's often missed in this particular text. And it's fundamental to how Jesus responded and how he transformed his disciples' fear into joy and doubt into faith. Jesus commissioned them. Jesus commissioned them. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, I find this quite stunning. Here is Jesus on the first night after the resurrection, when the disciples at their very lowest, hiding behind locked doors, traumatized still from crucifixion on Good Friday, and confused by Jesus' missing body. Yet here is the risen Christ commissioning his disciples. They had already answered the call to follow him while he was alive. Now he is sending them. He is sending them. This is a new level of following that he's calling them to. So the resurrection then isn't just not for comfort. The resurrection is for mission. Jesus did not erase their fear, but filled it full of peace. He did not remove the doubt. He spoke through their doubt by commissioning them. Well, as in the case of Christ's first disciples, Jesus' resurrection does not rescue us from the world. It actually plants us deeper into the world in a new way to live, a new life. Paul puts it this way. "If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come." That's exactly what we use from time to time in our assurance of forgiveness. That's from 2 Corinthians. Paul also says, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." That's Romans chapter 6. This new life isn't about living in a way that you can check some boxes off and get into heaven. It's a new way of being human right now in the present. Resurrection demands our ongoing transformation into life in the Spirit. As Paul says again, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians. And for freedom, Christ has set us free. That's Galatians 5. Well, we know that we are justified by faith alone, but our faith will not remain alone, but will result in a life of faith, repentance, and good works, which Christ prepared beforehand that we should walk in. Well, earlier in John's text, Mary Magdalene mistook Christ for the gardener. Now, I do not believe this is an insignificant point. In fact, nothing really in Scripture is ever insignificant. Human life began when God breathed life into the first Adam in the Garden of Eden, who was the ultimate gardener there. Human life is renewed when the risen Christ breathed life into his disciples. Christ, the second Adam, was raised from the dead in another garden. Mary thought the resurrected Jesus was the gardener. Maybe she was right. But Christ only breathed new life into his disciples after he commissioned them. After he commissioned them. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Well, this new way of being human is not just for our own benefit then. We are renewed for a purpose. What is this purpose? Well, we're not here to make converts or busy church workers or even social activists. We are here to make disciples who make other disciples. Those who actively follow and imitate Christ's teaching and life. We are called to be a community of people where people like Thomas are welcomed. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to believe in this and that or behave in such and such way before this church will consider letting you in. All are welcome here. Come and see. Bring your doubts. Christ will meet you here. So the question to us this morning then is this. How will we live out this new life in Christ? What will we do with our freedom in Christ? How will we continue to transform from our old self to our new self through the power of the Holy Spirit? But in short, how will we embrace our own resurrection? Will we live into God's freedom to love? Will we choose forgiveness over bitterness? Will we let go of shame and live in grace? Will we let go of living false identities? Stop striving to what the world says we should be? Will we speak the truth even when it's costly? Will we choose to live in hope even in the face of despair? Will we choose to show others compassion? Will we choose to start again after failure? Perhaps return to faith after years of being away? When we choose such things, the resurrected Christ is within us. Christ is risen. You are free. Embrace your own resurrection. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.